If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Nadia Talamante's interview with the director for The Eternal Memory, Mati Alberti.
Hola.
Yo aquí para recordar quién fue Augusto Bond.
Yo soy Augusto. ¿Y tú qué eres?
Yo soy la Paula. Nos conocemos hace más de 20 años.
Mañana vas a encontrar.
Nos parece muy importante reconstituir la memoria. Es siempre un intento de verse a sí mismo.
Lo importante es que no me olvides a mí.
This is Nadia with Next Best Picture. It's so great meeting you today. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me. It's a real pleasure to share this moment with you for your beautiful documentary, The Eternal Memory, which is a very, very deeply moving love story, also nominated this year for Best Documentary Feature at the Academy Awards. Congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's your second nomination following The Mole Agent. How does it feel to be recognized by the Academy for this work?
Yeah, it's pretty special because when you're a filmmaker for Latin America, it's something that it's not in your possibilities or in your dreams. I think that I really didn't expect that as a possibility. So it's very special, and it's a great opportunity to give visibility to the film.
Yeah, it and you get that visibility with your subjects as well. Augusto, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and his wife Paulina, who were and are public figures in Chile, particularly in journalism and arts and culture. And this documentary was actually the first time for me discovering who they were. And by the end, I felt such a connection to their spirit more than anything. What was your introduction to this couple, and how did the entire project come together for you?
Yeah, I was very lucky because I think I admired them for all my life. I grew up listening in Chilean television, Augusto programs, and I admire the career of Paulina, but I didn't meet them personally. And when I saw them in a work context, when he already had Alzheimer's, was very surprising for me that I realized that they decided to be in the world, speaking about the topic without being embarrassing, without being isolated, trying to be a couple. And that it's very, very special because I shot many people with dementia before, and it's usually people that it's isolated from society and loneliness. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was the way that we have to understand the Alzheimer's being in the world.
Yeah, it really opens up the perspective when you watch their story. And in a way, this documentary is eternally part of Augusto and Paulina, both as individuals, their relationship, their impact culturally. And I'm wondering, with so much information, so much individual and collective memory about them to preserve on film, how did you decide on what information to include versus what to omit?
Yeah, I think that the information that we include, it's information that it's related with the present, like and about the things that he always remember. When you see the film, you realize that it's not a film about what did he forget. It's more about what he always remember. Mm-hmm. So it's the kind of material that give it sense to the present remember that he always had, that is related with the love and the pain and the emotions that are always there. For example, in the film, you realize that he always remember the friend that he lost during dictatorship. Mm. And we have to go to that material because it's the historical pain that it's always there, that it's for me, the eternal memory.
Yeah, that was a really, really striking moment. And, you know, when I first saw The Eternal Memory last year, I had just personally experienced watching someone whose memory was fading. And what really struck me watching your film was that even though Augusto's memory is fading, the love that he has for Paulina does not, nor does his love and zest for life itself. And it's a very powerful emotion. So when you started this journey with them, was your focus always going to be that love story at the center, or was that something that you kind of found, you know, moving in that direction from witnessing their relationship?
Yeah, it was always that focus. It was always focusing the love story because that was the surprising thing for me, like how they deal with the illness and in such a special way, mm-hmm. and understanding the Alzheimer as a context and as a challenge, not as a tragedy. So I think that, yeah, that was very particular, yeah.
Yeah, it was a really intimate approach because instead of interviewing them, you're observing them, and it's sort of with the same fluidity as life itself, where you're moving from one moment to the next and you're letting the emotions just flow. And as a documentarian, what do you find most beneficial about taking that kind of observational approach like that with the subjects that you're working with?
Yeah, I think that when you're making observational documentaries, the nice thing is that life appear. And in this case, the good thing of this love story is that you see the, like, a lot of people told me, like, I'm afraid to see it because it's an Alzheimer film. And it's not an Alzheimer film, okay? It is, but at the end, it's a film about good life and good love. And with all the emotions that you can see when you are observing reality, it's not, of course, that they have bad days, but then they have a very good day and then a bad one. And it's the equilibrium of life, I think, that you discovering that this observation, that it's a 4 years and a half observation.
Mm-hmm. And some of the footage as well that's involved is filmed, we see, by Paulina during COVID when it hits, and she captures such vulnerable moments between herself and Augusto. And I was just really blown away by her patience and her generosity in those moments. What were those conversations like with her about using the footage that she was filming and kind of navigating through which material to show there?
To show about the present or the past?
The present.
Yeah, I think it was very special how she dealt. And she said, I'm an actress, so I know in my work how to repeat, so I can repeat in my house without a problem my text and my emotion. And it's very special because he never feel the empty space to don't remember, because each time that he's not remembering something, mm-hmm. there she is to help him to remember. So it's a kind of relationship that he never got desperate or aggressive because she's helping him. So that it's very particular. And what did we choose? It was like material that can make an equilibrium between the good days and the bad days. And there is not more painful material. I think that everything that you see, it's the equilibrium of what they live in these 4 years and a half, in a very, with the fragility of both, that I think that that is very brave for her too, that she also shoot herself in a fragility situation. And yeah, and it's their exercise that they are deciding to expose their own fragility.
Yeah, it's speaking more to that fragility, just considering the nature of Alzheimer's, I imagine it was a pretty powerful decision for Augusto and Paulina to participate in and open up in this way, while also not knowing exactly what was going to happen with the condition and that journey. And I'm wondering, what was it like to kind of find a way of reaching a conclusion as a filmmaker to close the kind of documentary chapter of their story?
Hey there.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.
Yeah, I think that might be conclusion of this story. It's that emotions are always there. And even when you think that you lost everything, that never happened. Like, there are things that you always remember, and the things that you always remember are the emotions. And it's a big paradox that we have a character that it's supposed that is he preserved the memory of a country and he's losing the memory. But at the end, it's not a paradox. For me, it's a bit metaphor of what happened in the countries with historical memory, that the people start losing the information, but we have to narrate the pain, because as he always remembered that pain, we can say, like, even when countries try to reinterpret information, try to erase information, this year was the coup anniversary of the dictatorship in Chile, so it was the 50 years of the coup. And it was very special because it was the first time that we start listening to our right wing side, very radical, saying like the human violations was justified in that context. And you say like, no, it's not. But okay, they can try to say that and it's very unbelievable. But the pain of a country is still there, even if you manipulate information. And that is the narrative that we have to make, the narrative of the collective pain.
Yes, and that balance of the personal, the love story, and the historical and cultural context was really, really well done. Going back to your previous Oscar-nominated documentary, The Mole Agent, also concentrated on an older generation, in that case specifically in a retirement home and the isolation that exists there, watching The Eternal Memory, it kind of felt like another side of that topic of aging, where Augusto is very much involved in every aspect of the world around him. Was there anything from your experience on The Mole Agent that you brought with you, or that maybe stayed with you during the making of The Eternal Memory?
Yeah, I think that The Eternal Memory, it's like, as you say, it's a kind of answer to The Mole Agent. And The Mole Agent, we see the isolation and loneliness of all people, and that it's like what I think that cannot happen when people are living that moment. And The Eternal Memory, it's an answer of an example of a possibility of how to deal with illness and fragility and old age, being in society and taking care with love, like, yeah, are completely, for me, related and in the same topic in a way, but with different approach. And probably the mole agent is a critic to society. And in this case, it's an example that I admire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your experience of making this documentary, what did you find most surprising or unexpected about going on this journey with Augusto and Paulina?
I think that the most unexpected thing was like that they really always live it in a good mood. They always reinvent a couple and they always try to be a couple. And it was very surprising that I also say like, well, I was shooting until the day that he will not remember her, but that day never happened. Like he always remember her. So that was very special as an understanding of emotions, I think.
Yeah, it was also really one of the most memorable parts of the documentary is when Augusto thinks back to also his experience during the dictatorship in Chile. And the strength, what's really struck me was the strength of his emotional memory. How, you know, even if he can't remember certain days or certain times, it's the emotion inside that is still very much lingering. And I'm wondering how often you found yourself in moments where his memories kind of were guiding the direction and the movement of the story and the focus that you were filming.
Yeah, I think that his memory helped me in the editing process probably, because at the beginning it was an observational film about the Alzheimer and the love story. And then I realized that there were so many things that he always remember that I needed to put it in the editing and make that kind of associations. That was really to construct a memory structure and not a chronological structure of how he deal with deterioration, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all captured very, very beautifully. And the biggest takeaway is, for me, just that love story, how powerful it is. And when more and more people discover the eternal memory, what is your hope for them to take away from this film and this story?
I think that my takeaway or what I wanted people to keep, it's a big lesson of love, of how do we have to live or confront dementias, how we have to live that challenge in society and not being alone and isolated, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a very, very beautiful message to carry with you. And I know we're coming up on the end of our time here. I'm a big fan of The Mole Agent, Maite, and we've just read the news recently that it's actually being adapted into a Netflix comedy series starring Ted Danson. I'm wondering, what was your first reaction when you heard about that project?
Yeah, I love it. We're EPs, we're involved. Today we go to the shooting. Yeah, it's very exciting because it's the perfect derivation for the documentary, because I feel that in the documentary, I have a lot of limits of things that you cannot do because, of course, that there are limitations in humor and some second characters that you cannot put it in extreme situations, of course. And fiction give you that and give you a possibility of construct more all that world, that his environment, that you cannot do it in the documentary. And yeah, I'm happy, it's fun, it's tender, and they have been very respectful of the spirit of the film. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really great to hear. I'm really excited to see that. And we at Next Best Picture would also love to know if there's anything else that you're working on, if you're able to tell us or share with us.
Yeah, but I cannot tell it yet. Yes.
Okay. Well, whatever that is, we're very, very excited to see it. Thank you very, very much, Maite, for your time. It's great to have you here on Next Best Picture. Congratulations again on the Eternal Memory.
Thank you. And
best of luck at the Oscars.
Thank you very much.
Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Nadia Dalamonte's interview with the director for The Eternal Memory, Mati Alberti, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. The Eternal Memory is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary Feature Film and is up for your consideration. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can also lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you'll get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will see you all next time.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.